we are going to consider the locus. And I found it helpful to watch a short video from BBC Earth. It is, if you Google it, it's on the internet, on YouTube. BBC Earth, a swarm of locusts devour everything in their path. This is a very interesting video as we consider the fifth trumpet in a little more detail today as we talk about the locusts of this fifth trumpet. So again, if you could Google swarm of locusts devour everything in their path, BBC Earth, you'll be able to watch the same video that I show in this sermon. Please open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 9. Revelation 9. We'll begin again with the reading of the fifth trumpet in Revelation 9, verse 1. And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. And to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And unto them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh man. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were, as it were, crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. May the Lord bless the reading of His Word to our hearts today. Today I'd like to consider these locusts that are in the fifth trumpet. Part of our consideration today will be wrapped around the idea of the false interpretations that come from this passage, basically relating these locusts to creatures coming out of hell. As we looked last time at the word for the bottomless pit, some interpreters understand the bottomless pit to be hell itself, and these creatures, these locusts coming out, to be demons. But as we showed last time, the bottomless pit is not hell at all. The bottomless pit is just the sea, the Mediterranean Sea particularly, but any sea or lake, even the Sea of Galilee, could be considered the deep, or the abyss, or as is translated in the King James, the bottomless pit. One thing I didn't mention last time, which I think is helpful, is that if we look at Wycliffe's translation, very early, around 1200 AD, an English translation, which was used as a basis for the King James, one of the translations that the King James translators referred to and looked at in considering what they would translate or how they would translate. The Wycliffe translation uses the word bottomless pit, but in the side note, it has the word deep, the deep. And so Wycliffe translators definitely understood that the bottomless pit, even though they used that term, was the deep, the oceans, the seas, the waters, bodies of water, large bodies of water. Now, the question does rise, again, I should have mentioned this last time, but the question does arise, is bottomless pit a bad translation? And I would actually encourage that it's not necessarily a bad translation. It doesn't necessarily communicate the same thing to us, but for them in that time, in Wycliffe's time, bottomless pit actually would describe the sea pretty well. If you were at that time and you would traverse the seas, you could never get down into the depths of the ocean because they didn't have deep diving equipment at that time. And so to you, the oceans and the seas would seem like a bottomless pit because, of course, you couldn't get down there to see that it did have a bottom. So calling the sea or the ocean a bottomless pit may be very culturally connected and doesn't show what is scientifically proven to be the case, because certainly the oceans do have a bottom. Nevertheless, the people in that time, using their common expressions of what they called the sea and the oceans, they could very well translate the sea or the deep as a bottomless pit. So I just wanted to bring that out as well before we get started into the discussion of the locus. And again, I brought this out today because there are many interpreters that understand the locus to be the demons coming out of hell. We are going to give a different interpretation based on the actual text. These are not demons. These are locusts, just like the locusts we see in the world today, except different. Something similar, but created differently by God. Different creatures for a different purpose. In verse 2 and 3, after the trumpet is blown, the star falls from heaven, and the key is given to the angel that blew the trumpet, as we explained last time. It says in verse 2, and he opened the bottomless pit. The keys are very useful tools, and this key does what it's supposed to do. It has the ability to open the bottomless pit, has ability to open the sea. Just like the key of David, which Jesus has, is able to open the New Jerusalem. Or the key of death and the grave. Christ is able to open the grave and let his people out so that they resurrect from the grave. So this key of the bottomless pit, or the key of the abyss, is useful to open the bottomless pit, the abyss. And as a result of opening it, there arose smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. But let me stop there and just go back to Joel chapter 2, verse 3. I think this is a very important connection with Joel's prophecy concerning the future. Joel 2, verse 30. Joel chapter 2, verse 30. It says of the future time, and I'll begin with verse 29, actually. And also upon the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. So this is the prophecy of Joel that Peter is going to later refer to as the pouring out of the Holy Spirit on all flesh. At Pentecost is when Peter refers to it. But look at verse 30. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. Blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Those descriptions point to the trumpets that are blown in the book of Revelation. You'll remember with the very first trumpet, both fire and blood come out of the heavens or rain down upon the earth. And then pillars of smoke refers to this fifth trumpet. And as the angel opens up the abyss, a pillar of smoke, great amount of smoke comes out as if from a furnace. This helps us again to prove that these trumpets are literal. They are meant to be literally understood. Joel's prophecy is not a symbolic prophecy at all. This is actually prophecy of what's coming. Just like Noah prophesied that the rain was going to come and the flood would come to destroy the earth. So that's what Joel is doing. He's foretelling what's coming on the earth. And we see the fulfillment of that in the words of Revelation, which also are not supposed to be taken in a symbolic or allegorical way, but as literal. And we've seen many times the comparison of Revelation's prophecy with other Old Testament and New Testament prophecies to reveal that Revelation is meant to be understood in a literal way, or else we destroy all the rest of the prophecies by interpreting it in a symbolic or allegorical way. Now, as you read that language, you may think, certainly this is hell being opened. Back in Revelation chapter 9, verse 2, "And there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace." It does not indicate that this is a fire that's causing this smoke, although certainly it could be. If the oceans are opened and the floor of the ocean, as when the flood was opened up, if that is opened as well with this, then water mixing with the lava underneath the ocean floor may very well cause a huge amount of steam and smoke to arise, and that's what's being referred to. That's a possibility. But all this says is that it's the smoke of a great furnace. It doesn't say it is a great furnace. What it's essentially saying is there's a lot of smoke coming up out of this sea, this deep, this ocean. And it causes the sun and the air to be darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Now, from this, though, we have to assume this is very localized in its effect. Sometimes the trumpets are more universal, like the prior trumpet. The fourth trumpet certainly is, as a third of the day and a third of the night are darkened. Obviously, that affects the whole world. But some of these trumpets and bowls seem to be very local. For example, when we get to the fifth bowl being poured out, it's poured out directly on the Antichrist's throne and causes darkness throughout his kingdom. Doesn't cause darkness throughout the whole world, just throughout his kingdom. That's more localized. Still pretty broad in its spectrum because the Antichrist is going to have the whole revitalized Roman Empire. Nevertheless, this is still localized to a specific area. The next bowl, the sixth bowl, is poured out on the Euphrates, and the Euphrates dries up. That is very specific to the river itself, not to the whole world, not all the rivers dry up, just the Euphrates. So sometimes these trumpets and bowls are more localized, and it would seem that this would have to be that way, as the smoke can only come up from a general area, maybe a huge area when we consider the sea, but nevertheless, it's not worldwide. And the smoke blotting out the sun is definitely not surrounding the whole globe with the smoke, at least not by my understanding of what's said here. So the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. These are not the demons coming out of hell. It's not actually the locusts even coming out of the bottomless pit. The locusts come out of the smoke. And so the deep here, the sea that's probably being referred to in a localized way, is probably a reference to the Mediterranean Sea. We're going to make reference to this at other points in the book of Revelation. For example, the beast that comes out of the sea, as we talked about last time, or out of the abyss, as different passages say, he is coming out of the Mediterranean Sea onto the land. Just like in Daniel 7, the four beasts that come out of the sea in that situation are coming out of the Mediterranean Sea to attack the land of Israel as well. Often when it just refers to the sea, the Israelites are to understand it's the big sea, the Mediterranean Sea. And again, the locusts come out from the smoke, not necessarily out of the deep. This seems to me to be an occasion of immediate creation. Immediate creation. Just like how in the plagues, the particles of dust became lice. Let's look back at those passages. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 8. Exodus chapter 8. I want to read verse 16. And the Lord said unto Moses, say unto Aaron, stretch out thy rod and smite the dust of the land, that it may become lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And they did so. For Aaron stretched out his hand with his rod and smote the dust of the earth, and it became lice in man and in beast. All the dust of the land became lice throughout all the land of Egypt. And the magicians did so with their enchantments to bring forth lice, but they could not. So there were lice upon man and upon beast. Then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened, and he hearkened not unto them, as the Lord had said. And so the plague of the lice came as God changed instantly the dust into that lice. And that is what I'm suggesting is happening with the smoke, the particles of smoke coming from the abyss. They are actually instantly transformed into these locusts. Let's also notice Exodus 9 with the plague of boils. And we'll read verse 8. And the Lord said unto Moses and unto Aaron, take to you handfuls of ashes of the furnace, and let Moses sprinkle it toward the heaven in the sight of Pharaoh. And it shall become small dust in all the land of Egypt, and shall be a boil breaking forth with flames upon man and upon beast throughout all the land of Egypt. So God uses the dust, which of course generally does not create boils, but with it being cast into the air, God caused that dust to spread throughout all of Egypt and cause boils to be upon the Egyptians. And so an instant creation that God works in a way that he normally does not work in the world. And so this is how I understand the locusts coming from the smoke. They don't come from the abyss. They come from the smoke itself, and it's the particles of the smoke that God uses to change and transform into locusts. And I think one of the evidences of this amazing creation is that it's a brand new creation. This is not locusts bringing forth other locusts that look exactly like normal locusts. Rather, these are very interesting and different looking locusts than have ever been seen on earth before. So let me reiterate, these are not demons waiting in hell to be let loose. Too many people interpret the Bible based on a Hollywood view of hell. They perceive hell as a fiery place with the devil with horns and a spiked tail and pitchfork and red skin with his pot of boiling water, and hell being his headquarters. Hell is not the headquarters of Satan. Hell is ultimately, or the lake of fire is ultimately, the place where he's going to be thrown in to be punished. He's not there yet because he's not yet been thrown into the lake of fire. That's going to happen at the end of the book of Revelation, chapter 20. And after he's thrown in, he's never getting out. But he's certainly not in control of hell now, and he's certainly not going to be in control when it becomes his place of punishment in the future. This is all Hollywood. And so when interpreters read this passage of Revelation as demons coming up out of hell, out of the headquarters of Satan, to cause mayhem and create chaos in the earth in the form of locusts. This is a misunderstanding and a twisting of scripture as they mix in their view of hell, which is not based on scripture. So, again, these locusts come from the smoke, which came from the sea, and these are not demons, but they certainly are new creations of God. Let's notice again verse 3 where it says, "And unto them was given power." The word there is the word for authority, exousia, which is the Greek, but it is the word for authority, not dynamic or dynamite power or force. It is authority. So they were given authority as the scorpions of the earth have authority. Later, we're going to see that this authority is in tormenting mankind. All those who do not have the seal of God on their foreheads, they are tormented with these stingers that the locusts have. And that's why it refers to the scorpions, which naturally have stingers, but the locusts do not. This is a new type of locust. Now let's look at verse 4. "And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads." These locusts are commanded. How are they commanded? Well, we know that verse 11 speaks about the king of the locusts, and he is the one that commands them. And as we talked about last time in the sermon, the king is the angel that blew the trumpet, the fifth trumpet. He was given the key of the bottomless pit, and he is the one that became their king to command them. This is going to be a difference between normal locusts and regular locusts. Normal locusts do not have kings. But one of the other differences, which is a very, very distinct difference between the normal locusts and these locusts, is that they don't eat the grass. They're commanded not to eat grass or the green trees. This is contrary to the nature of a normal locust, whose main purpose is to eat and to breed. These locusts are commanded not to eat anything green, but rather to afflict those that do not have the seal of God on their foreheads. So again, we are reminded that these trumpets are not trumpets of total mayhem that Satan wants and God wants. Rather, these are attacks specifically from God against the unbelieving world. And very clearly here is a distinction made between the righteous who have the seal of God, the 144,000, and those that do not, which essentially is a reference to the unbelievers. It is true that there were other Christians on earth that are not specifically sealed with the seal of God on their foreheads, but I assume that they too would be protected in this plague. Now, a question does arise is, how can these locusts live? How can they survive if they never eat anything green? Isn't that what locusts do? They don't even eat the human beings. They just torture them. So how do these locusts live? That is a question that's not answered. One may assume that since they are specific creations of God, special creations, unlike other locusts, that God just preserves them. But it doesn't say, and certainly we must ask, we ask the question out of curiosity. How do they live if they're commanded not even to touch the green grass and the trees? So, let me also observe that this clearly is not Satan attacking Christians in this passage with his demons. Again, the Christians are protected. They are preserved. This is not Satan attacking his enemies. Nor is it false teachers and heresies perverting the church. These are people that are afflicted in such a severe way physically that they desire to die. And the authority given to these locusts is not to preach false doctrines. It is to torment men as scorpions torment a man. with the stingers. So again, symbolizing this and washing this away with allegorical understandings or spiritualized meanings do not fit and take away from the Word of God. Rather, these locusts are creatures doing the work of God against the enemies of God, as God trumpets his judgments against the world. The seal of God protects these 144,000. And as we made reference before, this verse in particular shows us that this fifth trumpet is still within the first 3.5 years, because those that have been sealed, the 144,000, are still present. The 144,000 are present in the first half of the tribulation. By the middle of the tribulation, they are raptured up, and we'll get to that in chapter 12, so that's coming. But they're still present here on earth because they have not yet been raptured up. That will help us think a little bit about the 5 months that these locusts are allowed to afflict the earth. Consider, though, the mentality of humanity at this time of this locust plague. Usually when locusts come, men are concerned about the crops being eaten up. Now, with these brand new type of locusts, all of a sudden, they're concerned for their own personal safety and protection and trying to avoid them. Later, when we watch the video that we have prepared, you see men out in the field just trying to get rid of the locusts that are on his crops, not caring one thing about locusts flying all around them because they're not after them. They are after the crops. But when this plague comes, they are going to be mindful of where every locust may hide. Is he even close to me? And they are running scared from a swarm of locusts. And again, we're going to see that video and you're going to see what a swarm looks like. Pretty amazing. And if all these locusts were swarming after you, that would be a pretty terrifying plague indeed. Verse 5 says, "And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when it striketh a man." So, they are not allowed to kill anyone, they are just allowed to torment them. And it's for a special amount of time, 5 months. Normal locusts, there are different breeds of locusts. Most of the locusts die in 2 months. There is one breed of locust that does last for 5 months before it dies. And so the 5 months probably does indicate the full lifespan of these locusts. Now, 5 months is 1/7 of the 3.5 years of the beginning of the tribulation. Again, this certainly does come in the beginning of the 7 years of tribulation when the 144,000 are still present on the earth. So probably this comes either at the 2-year mark of the tribulation or somewhere close to that 2-year mark, maybe even getting to the 3-year mark. This is definitely further into the tribulation, and of course having seen several catastrophic activities and attacks from God already. Now let's consider the torment of the scorpion. Medical science has given us what a scorpion sting can do. For the localized symptoms in the area where the sting happens, it brings warmth to the body and pain in that area. But the general symptoms include difficulty swallowing, a thick tongue, blurred vision, roving eye movements, seizures, salivations, difficulty breathing, and possible death. Obviously, what the scripture says is that they don't kill anybody, so I presume death would not be on the list of these scorpion stings from the locusts, but nevertheless, it may have the same type of symptoms. Let's notice verse 6 here in chapter 9. And in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. This actually is Hebrew poetry. If you look at the wording, there's different things set against another thing. In those days shall men seek death. They look for death, but, as the next phrase says, and shall not find it. So finding and seeking are contrary to each other. And then, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And so there's a desire, but death flees. If you look at, again, the very first phrase and the last phrase even, they seek death, but death flees from them. And they shall not find death, even though they desire to die. So there's a mixing of the phrases there. It is a poetic expression. We're going to run into other statements of wisdom in the book of Revelation. And this is another aspect of wisdom statements of poetry as it's applied here. And ultimately, what it's very clearly saying is that men are so tormented by these locusts that they want to die, but they're not able to. They may have ideas of suicide, or they may just be expressing a wish to not be here anymore because of all the pain that they're feeling. Not necessarily suicide, but just a wish that they would be dead. Nevertheless, it's obviously a very bad time for them. In verse 7 and following of Revelation chapter 9, we see the description of these locusts. Most of these descriptions are not normal for the regular locusts that we know. But let's look at these descriptions. First off, there's a comparison made with the horses in verse 7. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. Let's go back to Joel chapter 2. As we consider this trumpet in particular with the locusts, Joel's prophecy connects with it in various ways. Again, this reminds us that to understand the book of Revelation, we must understand the Old Testament prophets, and Joel is one of those prophets we must understand. Joel chapter 2 verse 4 makes the comparison with the locusts that he saw in his vision with horses as well. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so shall they run. Now, Joel's description and comparison with the horses is more about the speed of the locusts. The revelation in the New Testament speaks more about the armor appearance of the locusts. They are like unto horses prepared unto battle. And in verse 9 we see, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron. And so presumably the horses that are prepared for battle are armored, and that is how these locusts are also appearing to John, to be armored for the battle. And it certainly does remind us that this is a battle that they are prepared for as they face humanity. This could be a normal description of the locusts. When we look at the video, you'll see that they look like they do have armor plates on their bodies, as some insects do appear that way. Certainly not breastplates. Their bellies don't seem to be covered with this armor, but this could be a description that could be said of a normal locust today. Then it says, in verse 7, and on their heads were as it were crowns or wreaths, the victor's wreath, like gold. So they also have the appearance as if they're wearing a victor's, a winner's wreath as a reward of the victory that they have achieved. And certainly this is in part due to God showing that they are going to be victorious over humanity and what they are seeking to accomplish. But when we look at a normal locust, we must say that this is not the normal appearance of a locust, that he would have a wreath or even gold wreath or something that looks like gold around his head. And then the next description is certainly not normal for the normal locusts, and their faces were as the faces of men. Different animals have different features that you look at, and you could say, well, that looks almost human-like. The locusts, even, you might say, look like they have two eyes, where a man would have two eyes, and nose, kinda, and the mouth, kind of where it should be. And so you could see possibly a similarity with humanity. But I think the description here is much more descriptive of what a human being actually would look like, what his face would look like. And so this would be definitely different from the normal locust as well. Verse 8. And they had hair as the hair of women, long and flowing, maybe scraggly, but at the same time, long and flowing hair like women. And certainly this is not the case for the normal locusts. They are pretty bald. Their heads are rounded and there's no hair there. This is not, by the way, what Jeremiah 51 is referring to. So if I go back to Jeremiah 51, verse 27, it refers to something, a locust that is a bristly locust. King James translates it, I believe, as caterpillar, but the locust is the idea. So Jeremiah 51, verse 27 says, set ye up a standard in the land, blow the trumpet among the nations, prepare the nations against her, call together against her the kingdoms of Ararat, Mini, and Ashkenaz. Appoint a captain against her, cause the horses to come up as the rough caterpillars. Rough caterpillars, or probably should be translated the bristling locust, the kind of locusts that have a little bit of hair on them, a little bristly. But obviously, hair like women and bristly hair are two different things. So again, Revelation chapter 9 is speaking of something that doesn't look like a normal locust in this feature. Verse 8, again, in chapter 9, says, and their teeth were as the teeth of lions. Their teeth were as the teeth of lions. When we look at the video, you might say that the jaws or the teeth that the locust used to eat the grass could be considered like lion's teeth, kind of large for the size of the creature itself. Let's go back to Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1. Joel chapter 1 verse 6, he describes locusts that were in his day. It says, for a nation has come up upon my land strong and without number, whose teeth are the teeth of a lion, and he hath the cheek teeth of a great lion. So these locusts that he's referring to as the nation, they have teeth that are described as the teeth of a lion. And so in this description, they seem to be a normal feature of the locusts that we have today. Nevertheless, the similarity with lion's teeth should scare the people. Definitely not a pleasant thing to hear. Verse 9. And they had breastplates, as it were, breastplates of iron. When it says that they have breastplates, as it were, of iron, it's not saying they were actual iron plates, but they are as strong as iron. This, again, is not normal for the locust to have it on their underbelly, their breast area. And so this is different from the normal locust, even though you look at a normal locust and you may say that he has a strong outer body, exoskeleton. Then it says, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. When we watch the video, you will hear the microphone pick up the passing locusts as they fly. And this in itself is a scary thing. These are not just locusts that run across the ground. These actually fly. So if you're constantly terrified by when a locust might just fly into your room and sting you with its scorpion's tail, the fact that they fly is itself a terrifying thing. But their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. It's one thing to hear one locust sound being picked up from the microphones. It's another thing entirely when there are swarms of locusts, billions of locusts that cover miles of territory, and you hear this sound, vibration, but even as it says here, chariots of many horses running into battle, it will be terrifying sound for the people to hear. And that is the sound of all these locusts and the swarms that attack men in that day. This, we can definitely say, is a normal thing. And Joel also uses this description. Joel 2:4 says, and the appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, like the noise of a flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. So these swarms are described in Joel as well. Verse 10, and this is where these locusts are definitely unique. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails. So this is definitely not the normal locust. And it says there, of course, that they have authority to use these stingers and to hurt men for 5 months. Verse 11 is itself also unique for these locusts in Revelation chapter 9. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue hath his name Apollyon. This is in sharp contrast to the normal locust as well. If we go to Proverbs chapter 30, Proverbs 30 verse 27 says, the locusts have no king, yet go they forth, all of them by bands. So, this passage, actually written by Agur, the son of Jaca, according to its title, he recognize that locusts have no king. And yet Revelation 9 says that they have a king who is the angel of the abyss. It says they have no king, yet go they forth, all of them, by bands. That's very interesting to see as you watch videos related to locusts, how they just, especially as their early stage as hoppers, they can't fly yet, but they go in these lines. They're all lined up and they're all walking, hopping in one direction towards the grass. And so even though Revelation 9 says there is king, Proverbs 30 says that the normal locusts don't have a king at all. They just go in bands. So this king, as we have reflected upon, is the one who blows the trumpet. He is the angel of the bottomless pit, or the angel of the abyss, because he's been given the key to open that abyss. He has been given the authority to do so. And his name is Abaddon in Hebrew and Apollyon in Greek. Both of these names meaning destroyer. So he is out for the destruction of God's enemies. He's a good angel who is fighting the battle of the Lord with this army of locusts that are going to afflict the world. Then verse 12 ends this trumpet saying, one woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. Certainly, this is a chronological statement. It's saying that one trumpet, one woe has already been passed. So it doesn't continue beyond the 5 months. After the 5 months, the locusts die, presumably, and the plague is over. But that's just one woe. There's two more woes coming, and these other two woes are going to be much more extreme. First one being the horses that kill one-third of the earth, and the last one being Christ himself returning and establishing his kingdom, which sounds like a wonderful thing for us, but against the world, which is the target of all these trumpets, that is a terrifying, terrifying thing that is far worse than what these locusts could have brought against the world. So now I'd like to play this video. And again, it is, if you Google it, the swarm of locusts devour everything in their path, Planet Earth, BBC Earth, and it's on YouTube. This video is very interesting as it explains what normal locusts are like. But then as we watch the video, I want you to think about the descriptions of Revelation 9 concerning this unique type of locust that God is going to create, instantly create, out of the smoke particles with the fifth trumpet. Consider, as we watch this video, are they like battle horses? Do they look like armored locusts, and including the breastplate? Well, maybe not the breastplate of iron, but they certainly do look like armored little creatures to some degree. Do their heads look like they have a gold victor's wreath on their head? Do they have human faces? Do they have women's hair, long and flowing? Does it look like they have lion's teeth? We'll get a few up-close videos of some of these locusts, and you might look at their jaws and say, well, they certainly look pretty large and fearsome, like a lion's tooth might appear. So, do they have lion's teeth? Do they sound like the sound of chariots running into battle as they fly? Do they have a scorpion's tail? And certainly they don't. But if you do look at the normal locust, you'll see it has a pretty large tail, and you can imagine it being extended up and around with a tail like a scorpion, and a stinger like a scorpion. But it certainly does not have a scorpion's tail. And, of course, do they harm humans? Or are they after the grass and the greenery? When we watch the video, you'll see humans freely walking around them and trying to get them off the crops. But they're not terrified about those locusts attacking them personally. And that will be a tremendous difference when we get to the tribulation. So let's watch this video and listen to the video and see if you can somewhat understand the normal locust, and then maybe even picture more how the locust of the tribulation will look like.
There is no other species on the planet that responds as quickly and as dramatically to the good times as the desert locust. Eggs that have remained in the ground for 20 years begin to hatch. The young locusts are known as hoppers, for at this stage they're flightless. They find new feeding grounds by following the smell of sprouting grass. Normally, it takes 4 weeks for hoppers to become adults, But when the conditions are right, as now, their development switches to the fast track. As the vegetation in one place begins to run out, the winged adults release pheromones, scent messages, which tell others in the group that they must move on.
Let me stop the video there just to point out, instead of having a king, like the book of Revelation speaks about the locusts there, these locusts, normal locusts, put out pheromones, is what he mentioned, which lead the locusts forward in some way, communicating to everyone, time to go, let's go find greenery somewhere else, kind of thing. So it's more of a communal leadership. There is no actual king like the angel of the abyss is going to be for the locusts of Revelation 9. Let me continue now.
And when groups merge, they form a swarm.
I stopped the video again here, looking at a picture of the locust. He's got two eyes, he's got antennas, he's got a face. Certainly doesn't look like a human face, but, you know, somewhat, as animals can appear to somewhat have a human face, this guy could. He's got big teeth. You could say they're like the lion's teeth, similar to a lion's teeth. Definitely not a mouth full of teeth like a lion has, but nevertheless, you could look at his mouth and say it's similar. Definitely no hair, no hair like a woman's hair. These are pretty bald little creatures. So, again, as you watch this video, a normal locust, definitely different from what
How
Revelation 9
can conceal
describes.
Literally hundreds of tons of vegetation. They have to keep on moving. The swarm travels with the wind. It's the most energy-saving way of flying. Following the flow of means that they're always heading toward areas of low pressure, places where wind meets rain and vegetation starts to grow. As they fly, swarms join up with other swarms to form gigantic plagues several billions long and as much as 40 miles wide. They will consume every edible thing that lies in their path. Planet Earth's greatest spectacles. It's rarely seen on this scale, and it won't last long. Once the food has gone, the steady roar of a billion beating locust wings will once again be replaced by nothing more than the sound of the desert wind.
So that is the video. Kind of scary, and it will be even more scary for those that hear the trumpet and see the smoke rising up out of the sea, and the swarms of locusts coming forth. The swarms of locusts will not just be flying randomly from one place to the other, directed by the wind and pheromones, as normal locusts are. Rather, these locusts will be guided by an angel, the angel of the abyss. And presumably, this angel will be something. Not only will they be able to see, will humans be able to see the swarms of locusts, but they may very well see this angel as well. guiding them and directing them to different places around the world to afflict and to harm and to hurt man, so that he is so desirous just to die and not live anymore because of the great judgment of God upon the world. God is out to harm and to destroy those who have hurt his people. That is what Revelation is talking about. He is going to protect his people, those sealed with the seal of God. Every single one of them will not be touched by these locusts. But he will bring the plague against the wicked, and they will suffer and be terrified. This will be a time of great judgment, and they will know God is against them.